For those who are joining us online, I hope you were able to do this along with us. You are very much part of our body for those who are watching us online right now. And it's so good to be able to do this corporately as a celebration of what Jesus has done for the body of Christ, for you and for me. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Jesse, for fixing my mic. You know, when you wear something new, you have to drive it for a little bit, and then you figure out the little kinks. So I apologize last week, or the week before that, where it sounded like a bag of chips, like I was opening a bag of chips. That thing was rubbing against my beard. So I told Jesse, either I get rid of the beard or, we can fix this thing. So tidal wave, you may be dismissed. So I decided to keep the beard, okay, and fix the microphone. Thank God for technology. Amen. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Woo! Kyle is sleeping. Woo! Yeah, there you go. And now he's awake. We're going to cover the parable of the three servants, or the parable of the talents, as it's known. This is the last week, by the way, of the series Abundant Life. How many of you have enjoyed this? Absolutely. This has been a great series. If you've missed, if you're joining us for the very first time, and if you've missed any part of this series, you can either go online on our Facebook page and watch the whole thing. It's there. Or you can also go on our website, oceansak.com, where you can actually see the notes. If you're doing a little study, you can see the notes and you can listen at the same time. How many of you love this type of technology where we are able to do this? And soon, and very soon, that's a song, isn't it? We're going to have an app that is readily available. It's been there for a while. We've had it, but I've turned things off, and it's going to be turned back on probably by next week, where you're going to start seeing, and you might be able to listen and to tie in with YouTube. And there's so much stuff that I don't want to bore you with all this little technology thing, but it's amazing when we are connected. Amen. When we are able to connect and use the power of the technology to stay united and to stay connected as a body of believers. So all of this is about to come. So just stay tuned and pay attention to what we post out there on Facebook. But this morning we're going to wrap up this series with a very important message. Very important message. It basically wraps up abundant life and puts a little, a nice little bow on the whole thing. How many of you love that when you finish a package and after you're done, before you hand it over to the person, the recipient of that gift, you put a nice little bow on it and you hand it over. So this morning is going to be a nice little bow on this series, Abundant Life, because abundant life is not a magical formula. It's a series of key principles, key kingdom principles, that when we apply those principles to our personal life, we walk in this thing called abundant life. Like Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So he's talking about this abundant life. It is not this magical formula that I can say, and voila, there it is, abundant life. It's a series of these principles that we must apply to our lives in order to see the fruits. So this morning we're going to unveil another principle. A principle of stewardship. A principle of stewardship. First, let's define what stewardship is, right? Stewardship from a biblical standpoint is this. It's the conducting, the supervising, managing of something entrusted in our care by God Himself. God has entrusted us with things in our lives, such as our time, our talents, our resources, our health even. All of these are resources that God has given to us to manage. You see how I did this, Lindsay? I threw in health.
Thank you.
It's important to be healthy. It's important to be healthy to last the calling. If I eat a dozen donuts every day, I got to see you more often. That's for somebody who owns a gym, that's job security right there, you know. But our body needs to be maintained, right? So God has entrusted us with this body. And He's saying, you maintain it. That's stewardship, right? That's stewardship. Our children are also gifts from God for us to steward, to take care of. They were given to us for a period of time, and it is up to us to train, to discipline, to teach, to put them on the right path. That is our job. That is us being a good steward of our children, because God has entrusted us with their lives. Amen? That's important, right? So before we embark on this journey in Matthew 25, we got to stop and fill up gas, right? Because it's a long journey. Matthew 25 is a long one. Very important one. But we must first stop and fill up gas. And we're going to do so right here. Psalm 92. And it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruits in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. How many of you would love to be fresh and flourishing, even in your old age, mind you? Even in your old age. Now, we don't want to use the term old age so often, but in old age, you want to be bearing fruit. We don't use old age. Maybe we use season, right? Season, that's a more appropriate word. Or vintage. Is that a good one? That's not a good one. No. Okay, we won't use vintage. Season is probably better. Okay, we'll use season. Properly season. So you won't want to bear fruit when you are old and properly seasoned. But how do you do that if you're not planted? Because right there, the key word is those who are planted. So being planted is key. And the soil to be planted in is the house of the Lord. The church. The church is the place where you remain planted. Well, let me tell you something about stewardship. Stewardship is a seed planted and not a seed buried. I want you to hold on to this because I want you to use this when we read the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Okay, let's go. Matthew 25 talks about a master and three of his servants. Okay? So in verse 14, it goes like this. And you can read along. It's going to be on the screen. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to one, to another 1, and to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then the one who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, right off the bat, let me tell you that this parable is not talking about salvation. Because a lot of time we tend to take our minds there when we start seeing outer darkness, we start seeing gnashing of teeth. Immediately our mind shifts all the way to that hot place called hell. And we tie this to salvation. It cannot be salvation because salvation is not about works. It's undeserved, unmerited, and unearned. If it was talking about salvation, the first servant could come back and say, I was a good steward. That's why I was saved. I multiplied what you gave to me. That's why I got saved. The second servant could actually say the same thing. But that's not really what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about stewardship. and stewardship alone. It's referring to what God has entrusted into our care. Everything that God has put in our care and saying, you take care of it while I'm gone. But I'm coming back and I'm going to settle accounts with you. I'm going to see what you have produced with what I've given to you. Talent here is not talent, singing talent, musical talent. Talent here is referring to a measure of weight in silver. Okay? It's like the first one got 5 bags of silver. The second one got 2 bags of silver. And the third one got 1 bag of silver. According to today's price of silver, which is 87 cents a gram, the weight of one talent is 33 kilogram. Okay? 33 kilogram is the weight of one talent of silver. So when you do the math, like I said, Jesus loves math. One talent is worth $28,710, according to Saturday's metal money exchange rate. Okay? So this is where we are. $28,710 is worth one of those bags. So in this parable, Jesus is referring, see, when you read a parable, it's a story that is thrown alongside a truth, right? Jesus is trying to teach us something, so he throws along a truth, a parable, parallel. That's where we get that word, same word. He throws that in parallel to a truth. And right there, he's using this type of setting because back in the Roman Empire, they understood what it meant when a master left. Because back then, we're dealing with Romans, right? They were the occupier at the time. So they were there occupying the land, but they had to go back to Rome every time where they need to lobby for things. They were politicians. They were very active back home in Rome. They were rulers in Jerusalem, in Israel, but when they had to go back home to lobby for more funding, for more soldiers, for more things. So when they left, they put the servants in charge. Not just any ordinary servants. If you read that same text from the Greek, you don't get the word servants, but you get the word bond servant. He would trust those bond servant to be able to handle his affairs while he was gone. So Jesus was throwing this parable alongside the truth because he was trying to teach them the principle of stewardship. So imagine the audience that was listening. Most likely there were a mixed audience. It was not addressing just the disciples. There was other people listening in. So he had to address them in such a way that it would make sense even to the unbeliever. That's why he's making it so, that's why verse 29 and verse 30 are so strong when you start seeing it weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's trying to shake their minds and start shake their hearts to think about God first. The importance of having God. Because the Roman Empire, they didn't really believe in God, right? There are different philosophies, different concept of how they handle truth, how they handle stewardship. So Jesus was challenging their knowledge at this point. A bondservant is very important here. A bondservant is one who's made a choice to stay and serve the master voluntarily, without pay. That's a bondservant. These are the people that the master would trust with his affair, not just any servant, a bond servant, someone who's made a choice to stay behind and serve the master simply because he loves the master. That would be somebody that you can trust with $27,000 worth of a bag of silver. I would not be giving a $28,000 to just anybody and say, you take care of this. I don't know you. I don't know how well you can handle $28,000. So these were bond servants, trusted servants that have made a choice to stay with the master simply because they love him. Now, doesn't that sound like believers, like you and me, who've made a choice to stay and serve the master just because we love him? Now, these are the servants that are being described there. Jesus is talking to you and me through this parable. He's addressing a heart issue, while at the same time he's addressing a much broader audience of people that do not know God. But right here he's challenging the believers to step up to realize the importance of stewardship. The role of a bondservant was to stay planted while the master is gone, to make sure that the affairs of the master are being taken care of, like making sure that the light bill is paid while the master is gone, that the master's dog is being fed while the master is gone, to make sure that all the other servants are doing their job as they should while the master is gone, to make sure that everything in the household of the master is being taken care of while the master is away. That was in time for that bond servant to check out of his or her responsibility and go to a vacation in Jamaica, or bury themselves in their room and watch Netflix all day long. It was time to be active. It was time to work. It was time to go and seek what needs to be done. It was time to work and not to sit back. Then finally, the most important one is when the master came back to settle the accounts. Again, we're talking about numbers here. The master was coming back to settle the accounts. I've given you $28,000. What have you done with it? That's an important question, right? I have blessed you with this much. What have you done with it? What can you show for with what I've blessed you with? The second and most important one of the duties of a bondservant was to make sure that the holdings or the financial portfolio of the master was multiplied or increased. This morning I've got 3 points for you. Very easy. We're not going to take very long on this one. This is not like the sermon when feeding the 5,000 that took forever. We're going to wrap this up in just a few minutes, really. But I want you to really soak in to the max of what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us, the body of Christ, in this time, in this hour. Because it's challenging when you start thinking about stewardship. Because it points right here. Because then you start looking, what am I doing? Number one, am I planted in the right place? Am I in the right place where God has called me? See, when somebody comes to our church, the very first thing I say is this. Be planted somewhere. If you are supposed to be planted somewhere else, remain planted somewhere else. Don't transplant yourself. Let God transplant you. Because that happens just like if you take care of I don't fully understand gardening, but I've seen a few shows, I've seen other people do it. Transplantation is part of the process of growing. You move plants from one pot to the next. I've seen Ursula do it. She knows what she's talking about. She knows what I've seen her. But I don't fully get it, but I've seen it done. The same concept applies to our life when we think about what God says about stay planted. Be planted in the house of God. That's a key principle. That ties the whole thing together about stewardship. Because outside of the house of God, you don't flourish the same way that God wants you to. You don't bear the same fruit that God wants you to. Before Christ, during my time when I did not know Jesus, I was a very bad steward. I'm going to share a little bit later on, but I was very bad. I had to learn how to become a good steward. The point number one is this. In this whole parable, we get this. Different capacities, but same opportunity. I need you to catch this. Different capacities, but same opportunity. Three servants. It says to one, he gave five. To another, two. To another, one. To each, according to his own ability. Now, when you read this, you might think this was an unfair distribution, right? How come this guy got five? How come this one got two? And how come I've got only one? This is unfair. It's an unfair distribution that the master was showing favoritism to the first one. He got five. How come? Quite the opposite, really. The master was being mindful of the weight of the responsibility upon each one of the servants. He was factoring in what weight could this servant hold. Could this servant hold this much responsibility with five versus one? So the master is being mindful that the weight of the responsibility does not crush the servant. That's a gracious, loving God right there that did not pour upon your life something that you cannot handle. How many of you have ever asked God for something really big, very extravagant, and it never came to pass? I asked God for a Bentley. It's been a while now. I haven't seen the Bentley yet. I probably won't get a Bentley. But it took me a while to actually come to grip and say, you know what? I don't need a Bentley. I'm fine with my Dodge. I don't need a Bentley. I'll be just fine. But what if? What if God did give me a Bentley? What would I do with this thing? There's only, what, how many miles of roads on this in this place? Where would I go? I can't even drive a Bentley in snow. It's going to mess up just about everything. I mean, it's not practical to the place where God has placed you. So when I look back, I say, this is a gracious, loving God for not giving me a Bentley during the season that I'm in right here, right now in Kodiak. And I'm happy with that. What if he gives me something that is way too heavy for me in terms of responsibility and it crushes me? God is thinking about your responsibility and your weight that you can carry as well. That's why whatever you've asked God, I told you about my Bentley story, but you've got other Bentley stories yourself where you've asked God for something, but you haven't seen it yet, and it's for a good reason. It's for a good reason. The master is being careful not to give you anything that would eventually crush you. Believe it or not, that happens a lot within the church, where you see somebody who is ready to go and serve, and you say, yeah, okay, you do this, or you do this also, and you do this also, and you keep on piling weight upon weight upon weight upon a servant. A servant heart wants to do well, but you as a leader, you can actually crush that person to the point where they come and hate the true master. Where they eventually walk away from everything because the stewardship was not properly handled. So God, in his full of grace and mercy, is seeing a much bigger picture that you and I can see. So when we see things being delayed, instead of griping and throwing in the towel, we wait upon the Lord. We ask the Lord, what is it? Why is there a delay? Why is this not happening? And God will explain. God will explain. God will teach us. This is the type of God that we serve. He's a loving God, not a hard master, like the third one called him. So the distribution was based on their capacity or ability to handle the task. But there are two things that the master gave in equal measure to all three servants. In equal measure. The first one is opportunity to succeed. They all got the same. They all got the same opportunity to succeed. Number two, an education. An education. Yes, an education. Those servants, they went to stewardship university. Yeah. They learn from the master how to handle the responsibility. They were taught the principles of stewardship by the master himself. See, God will not ask us to do something that you have not seen him do himself. He's done it, and he's teaching by example. Just like he broke the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he handed it to them. Same with the same principle, the fishes and loaf. Same thing. Blessed and handed back. Jesus was teaching the principle of blessed in his hands and multiplied in your hands. Same when you tie in communion, it was the same thing. Redemption was what he did and then handed over to you, so that you can be redeemed. It started with him, but you are part of that equation. It starts with him, but God includes you in the miracle. God includes you in the process of redemption. God includes you in the process of sanctification. You did not just get saved, and then Jesus walks away and says, we'll see you at the end of the race, buddy. Hope you do well. No, he's right alongside you. He's coaching you. He's encouraging you. He's pushing you forward. He's prospering you. He's making sure that you're not alone in the race. I believe he equipped those servants. He educated them. He taught them the principle of tithing. He taught them the principle of stewardship. They were not there by themselves trying to figure things out. Now that's dangerous when you have bond servants on their own, no education, no proper training, and trying to run the show for the master. That's very dangerous. Many stories that I can share here, but I'm going to hold back for another day. I'm going to share with you a little story about myself. Sometimes it's best to poke fun at yourself than rather than look at somebody else. So in my late teens, amen, in my late teens in England, I was such a bad steward of money. Terrible. Terrible. The moment I got blessed with something, I spent it. I mean, I had no concept of stewardship. Nothing at all. I didn't know what that meant. I did not know Jesus at the time, okay? So cut me some slack. No concept of stewardship. All the money was spent on clothes, shoes, and travel. In that order. Did I say shoes already? Shoes. All the time, everything was spent on those things. After I became a Christian, nothing changed. Nothing changed immediately. It took a while. I had to learn to be planted. I had to learn to be planted. I had to learn about stewardship. I had to learn about the principle of first fruits. I had to learn about the principle of tithing. Once I understood, my priorities were realigned. God took the first spot. Here, first, God took the first spot, and then God took the first spot here. It started with the heart. I understood. I understood right there that God needed to be first. And guess what? When God was first, I did not lack anything. It was blessed in his hands and multiplied in my hands. I still had shoes. I still had clothes. I was still able to travel. I was still able to do everything that I needed to do. But God remained first. God taught me an important principle of how to put him first in everything. My point is, we are not born with stewardship skills. It's a learned principle. It's a learned skill. That's why we're spending 5 weeks on Abundant Life, by the way. And to tell you the truth, we're going to be learning about this for the rest of our life, you and me. It's something that is ongoing. We learn to be better bond servant of the master. It's not like, oh, I graduated, I got it all together. There would be an assignment and there would be a test. And each time God is trying to take us from one stage to the next. Would you believe me for the impossible? Would you believe me for a task that you cannot accomplish by yourself? Would you trust me through the process of first fruit, tithing, stewardship? Through that process, you will be able to accomplish the impossible task that God has set for you to do. Soon after, when I was in England, I received Christ and God gave me a direction. The direction was to go to come to the U.S. and go to Oral Roberts University. No money. Everything was spent on shoes. Nothing. Nothing to show for. I've got one more year to graduate. Two more years to graduate. And I'm like, Lord, how is that possible? You gave me an impossible assignment. It can never be accomplished with what I have. But when I took what I have and I placed what I have in the master's hand, guess what? It was blessed and handed back to me, multiplied. The few dollars that I had, and by the way, I'm not saying this in a theology or teaching of give to get. I believe we've already addressed that in the first week of Abundant Life. But I'm teaching you a principle that once you apply it, you will see the fruits. It might take time. For me, it took 2 years to actually see the fruits. But it came. The little money that I had, I got the vision. I said, Master, here, bless it. When it was handed back to me, it was more than enough for me to graduate 100% debt-free. So it takes the principle that you've learned and apply it to what God has called you to do as a servant, as a bond servant. God has given every one of us the same opportunity to succeed. The same opportunity to succeed. Our assignment is different based on our abilities, but with the same opportunity to succeed. You want to hear something sad? Been thinking about this. Many Christians believe, or they don't believe, that God has given them the same opportunity that somebody else. They're stuck in that thought that so-and-so is more blessed than me. He was raised in this house with this family, and I was raised in this family with these type of restrictions. Those who believe that will always be a victim of their past. They will always be tied up so much so with their past that they will not be able to break free. To be open, to be used openly by God, a victim of their past, a victim of their upbringing, culture, gender, and even calling race. The moment you start thinking about this, you start comparing yourself with somebody else. And guess what else? They are never satisfied where God has planted them. Never. They're never satisfied. They're always hopping from one place to the next. They can't be still. They're never satisfied. Point number two is expectation. Kind of got really quiet here. Point number two is expectation. In verse 16 and 18, it says this: Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. And likewise, he who had received 2 went right to work. I've added that there. They went right to work. They did something with it. They gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Expectation is key to every assignment. Say if I ask you to do something and I don't set the expectation, how would you know what to do? You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know what I'm expecting. So the master always set the expectation. And you have to know it. If you don't know it, you ask for it. What's expected of me? The expectation of the servant was this: to make sure that the holdings or the finances of the master is multiplied. Because he was coming back to settle the accounts. He's going to come back and count the money. What have you done with it? You remember the story of the five loaves and the fishes. That's basically what it is. They were blessed in Jesus' hands and multiplied in the hands of the disciples. The expectation in this parable is just the same. Before the master went to this far country, he blessed all the resources and he handed them over to the bondservant and said, now you go and work. Work at it. Do something with what I've given you. The first two did. The other one dug a hole and put what the master gave to him in that hole. And of course, nothing happened to it. The amounts were different, but the expectation to multiply were exactly the same. God was coming back to check what they've done. See, God has entrusted you with His resources. He's entrusted you with His resources. He's already blessed what He's given to you. Now He's saying, you go and multiply them. You go and put them to work because it is blessed in His hands and multiplied in your hands. Point number three is this. Perception of God. Perception of God. In verse 24 and 25 it says this. Then he who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. I mean, these are harsh words to actually come and to the master. I knew you to be a hard man. Remember, he's a bond servant. He's a bond servant. I would say in that context, he's a believer. He's a child of God. He's a bond servant who's made a decision to serve the master voluntarily without pay, just because he loves the master. But his perception of the master somehow got skewed. He saw the master as a hard man, reaping where he has not sown and gathering where he has not scattered seed. And he said, I was afraid. Can you imagine a child of God being afraid of God? Being afraid so much so that whatever God has given to them, they've dug a hole and planted whatever God has given to them. Without the expectation of ever multiplying it, maybe that bond servant was not even expecting the master to ever come back. He said, let me just go ahead and dig a hole and put it there. Have you ever thought about this? What did he do during the time when the master was gone? Because normally when the master is gone, when they were leaving, they left for maybe a year. What did that servant do with the time that he had in his hand? Nothing. Nothing. How long would it take to dig a hole and put a bag of silver? Not a whole lot of time. You can dig the hole in 5 minutes. Bury that thing in 1 minute. Cover it up in another minute. But what did he do with every time that he had on the clock before the master came back? Nothing. That's why the master called him, you wicked and lazy servant. He was lazy. He didn't want to do the work. He watched the others do it. He knew the expectation, but he did not do anything with what God has entrusted him in his care. The unfaithful servant was afraid and he handed back the talent to God. And he said, look, there you have what is yours. He had the wrong perception of God. Instead of seeing God as a loving father, he saw God as a hard master. See, when you see God as a hard master, you will always hold back. You will never give your best. You will never give your best because the heart has been misplaced. The heart is not there to serve with a loving heart. You're serving for the wrong cause. You're serving to be recognized. He dug a hole and he planted the talent. Would you say that the servant wasted the Lord's money? Did he waste the Lord's money? When you think of it in financial terms, yes, he did. But when you think about it, about just a simple way of thinking, no, he did not. He just handed back whatever he was given. He was given $28,710. Here you go. It's all accounted for. $28,710. There you go. Close the deal. He didn't waste the master's money when you think about it. In long-term financial planning, you say, well, yeah, you've missed an opportunity to grow. He didn't waste the money, but he wasted an opportunity. He wasted an opportunity to do something with what God has given to him. He missed the opportunity to hear his master say this. Just those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, those three servants, the one with the five, the one with the two, that multiplied what they were given, both of them heard the same blessing. The one who multiplied the five and got 10 did not receive a bigger reward. The reward was just the same. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Therefore, enter the joy of your Lord. They both got the same reward. He would have got the same reward too had he multiplied or used that one talent. That was his responsibility, is to multiply that one talent. So the question I have for you as we close is this. How do you see God? Do you see God as a hard master? Or do you see God as a loving, caring father? That determines, that position your heart towards how you see God, how you see the resources that He's blessed you with. If you see God as a hard master, you won't give Him the first fruit because you'll think that He will eat the very first thing that you give to Him instead of blessing it. He wants to bless it, but He wants to hand it back over to you so that it can be multiplied in your hands. Abundant life is a result of good stewardship. Stewardship that is a seed that is planted. Because when you plant a seed, you're not expecting that seed to die. You've given that seed the proper environment for that seed to grow, to produce. Stewardship is the same thing. It's a seed that you plant. And for a seed to plant, you must put in the right kind of soil. those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. When you are planted, you would see godly opportunities. See, when you're not planted, opportunities are coming, are whizzing past you. But because you're not fixed, you're not steadfast, you're not grounded, these opportunities are whizzing past and you're not catching them. You can't even see them. But when you're planted, when you're grounded in the Word, and when you're applying godly principle in your life, when those opportunities come, that spirit inside of you would wake you up, would say, seize that one. That's me. I'm opening a door there that no man can shut. Can you see it? But if you're not planted, you're always on the move. You're always on the go. Your spirit is not calm. Your spirit is not steadfast. You miss opportunities. I believe the servant, the bond servant who dug a hole and planted this, he was not planted himself. An opportunity came and he fell asleep. He did not recognize the opportunity that God was given to him. When you are planted, you will also know what God is expecting of you. We've all been given an assignment from God. The Word says that we are His workmanship, His masterpiece. That God created before time, before end, so that we should walk in them. There's an assignment that God has uniquely created just for you. When you're planted, you can discover that. You can discover your destiny, the vision that God has given to you. When you're planted, you'll see God as a father, as a loving father, because He's going to take care of all your needs. Everything that you need of, He'll make sure that you're provided for, and well provided for, above and beyond. That's abundant living. When you've made Jesus the focus of your life, where you've placed Him on the throne of your life, on your heart, and He lives here. That's the beginning of abundant life. The Word says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Would you please stand? I'm hoping at this point that the Holy Spirit would be speaking to you. Maybe even challenge you. When I first heard such message about abundant life and what Jesus has done for me, I was very, very new in my walk with God. Very new. But once I got a hold of it, I latched on to what God was saying. And I did not let go. And through that, I have seen miracles after miracles after miracles. What I thought was impossible in my own personal life, God made it possible. Like I said, I was not a very good steward at all. But before I left England, somebody told me, or you might use the word prophesy over me. Still didn't fully get the concept of stewardship. Somebody told me, said, millions of dollars going to pass through your hands. I chuckle. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know how many shoes I can get with those million of dollars? You know, that's kind of like what I thought the moment that person said that. I remember, she's an old lady. Her name is June. I don't even know she's alive now. But she prayed over me because they were praying over me at church right before I left England. And she said, millions of dollars going to pass through your hands. And remember, as I'm praying, they're praying for me in the front. I smile. But that came to pass. That came to pass. Not in my own person. It wasn't me that had the money. I was just the steward. It belonged to somebody else. But that prophecy came to pass. $173 million every year passed through my hands. And that's kind of like how God showed me that when I could not give that to you a few years back, because that would crush you. You would have bought things that, I don't even know if I could have actually buy things with that, but I was not a good steward. I could not handle that much money, period. But when I trusted God, at some point in time, He thought I was worthy to handle a little bit of a bigger responsibility. And He did. Same, I'm praying and I'm believing over your own life. As you grow, as you stay planted where God has called you. Now, it might be here at Oceans United. It might be somewhere else. That is an answer that God Himself must answer. Not the pressure of anybody, not even me. It needs to be the place where God has called you. Very, very important. In that place you will flourish. In that place you're going to see what Psalm 92 says, that you will bear fruits now and in your old age. Father God, we thank you. Lord, we are humbled by your grace, by your providence. Lord, we are all bond servants, that we've made a decision to follow you, to trust you. Lord, help us to stay humble. Lord, have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. If you've never put Jesus first in your life, I invite you right now to do it. It starts with an invitation. It just starts with you asking Him to come in. If you've never done that, I'm asking you, would you join me in this prayer? I don't want to embarrass anybody. If you've never made that commitment to God, this is the time. You don't want to end this message about abundant life without knowing the source of this abundant life, without knowing the Master Himself. Without being educated by the Master. Jesus is the Master. Would you repeat this? Openly, anybody, or privately if you want, in your own heart. Jesus, I invite you to be part of my life. I right now renounce the enemy. I declare that the enemy is defeated over my life. I invite you, the victor, to take control of my life, to forgive all my sins, and to give me a brand new future. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a simple prayer, but it starts with Jesus. It starts with Him. God bless you all. Thank you for this amazing journey that we've been on with Abundant Life. I'm believing that your life will be changed, transformed forever. You'll never be the same again. God bless you all.